This is a special AHA Innovators Connection podcast recorded live at the 2025 AHA Leadership Summit. I'm Bill Klaproth, and with me is Dina Brescher, Chief Nursing Officer, and James Lakes, Chief Revenue Officer, both from Mednition. And today we're going to talk about how to close the care gap, how Nurse First AI drives clinical and financial outcomes for health systems. Dina and James, thank you for being here.
Bill, thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Bill. It's fantastic. The show has been phenomenal so far.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I know our friends at AHA will be happy to hear that. And we're glad you're here, and we're ready to learn more about Mednition, that's for sure. So, Dina, let me start with you. You're my chief nursing officer. From a nursing leadership perspective, what operational challenges are you seeing that make AI investments in the ED a strategic necessity for health systems today?
Great question, Bill. You know, there are so many factors that impact how an ED operates. We've got the capacity issues that we're seeing in emergency departments all across the country, where we're functioning as emergency departments. We're seeing 90% of our patients in 10% of our space. And so how we prioritize patients makes a big difference in how the limited space we have is going to be able to be best used to take care of patients. We also have a workforce challenge. So we have nurses who have, in the past, had 20 plus years of experience in the emergency department. And now the average tenure of an ED nurse is about 2 years. And so to have a tool that can help have those nurses' backs so that they can be nurses, take care of their patients, and Kate steps in that moment when I might be just about to make a mistake, that can really have a positive impact on being able to get the right patient to the right place at the right time, which is our goal in the ED.
Absolutely. So we're dealing with a capacity issue, as you said, and we have workforce challenges as well. And we know AI is kind of revolutionizing a lot of areas in our life today. So can you explain to us what is Nurse First AI? I like that, Nurse First AI. And what are the differences between AI tools that adopt Nurse First principles versus those that do not?
Awesome. So we have an actual problem in the emergency department, and the people who best know what that problem is are ED nurses. And so the approach that we took when we were building Kate is we have to work with the teams that are doing the work in the emergency department to understand how best we can support them without getting in their way. So that nurse-first approach allows us to let nurses be nurses. They're going to do their work. We're going to have their back, and we're not going to get in their way. We're not going to ask them to change anything, no documentation change, no workflow change. Just do what you're doing so well, and we're going to be there to support. It's not just nurses in the moment or being part of the how Kate works, but also at Mednition, we have a very clinician-focused process. So we have a team of emergency nurses and providers that give voice in every aspect of what we do as a company so that we make sure that the people that we are designing and supporting are involved in all of the processes in our company.
So the AI's name is Kate.
Correct.
I just want to make sure so yes. We know who Kate is.
Yes.
So our AI is Kate. I like it. Okay, very good. And when you're talking about this, Dina, I'm thinking to myself, okay, how does this work in real life? Do you have an example how a nurse would use Kate
sure.
in practice?
Yep. So patient's going to arrive and come in whatever door in the emergency department, whether it's the front door or the EMS entrance. They're going to go through the hospital's triage process. The nurse is going to do their assessment, document their assessment, and they make that acuity decision or when does the patient need to see a provider. That's when Kate goes to work. We take everything that the nurse documents, any free text, any flow sheet row, any right-click comment, the patient's vital signs, and then the history that's in the record that we don't have time at triage to review. And when you ask a patient, do you have any medical problems? They don't always give us the information we need to make an accurate decision. So we take all of that information, we make two predictions about the patient, one about ESI acuity and one about sepsis. If the nurse and Kate agree, nothing happens. But if there's a disagreement between the nurse's acuity and Kate's prediction, the nurse will get a message about 8 seconds after they assign their acuity, and we ask them to read that, to apply it critically to the patient, but they have the ultimate decision-making authority because the patient's in front of them. And we want the patient to be in front of the nurse when the message comes so that they can ask any clarifying questions to make sure that they have the information to make that best decision.
I could see where this would speed things up too. In that example, if the AI comes up with, here's the patient's history, boom. Oh, it can search those records in an instant.
Because there's so much to look at, you know, so much to go through when you're looking at an EHR. And we have about 3 minutes to make a decision based on the national standard for triage using ESI. So having that information searched for me and then sharing the information that's pertinent to this patient, this complaint in this instant, really does make a difference in how I can make decisions for my patients.
Yeah. Wow. Really interesting when you talk about this. So among all the different stakeholders, how do you then help executive teams understand the connection between nurse satisfaction, patient outcomes, and the bottom line when evaluating new clinical AI technologies?
So when you have nurses that feel supported, you have better patient outcomes. And when you have better patient outcomes, you have a better bottom line. And so investing in technology that's supporting nurses' decision-making and elevating nursing so that we can practice to the top of our license means that we're going to be able to have trust between the tool and the nurses. They're going to use that to be able to make the decisions for the patient. And that's where we're going to see the impact on the financial resources of an organization.
Which everybody is acutely aware of and trying to improve at all times, especially in the situation or conditions that we're in right now. So really useful. Dina, thank you so much for that. James, let me turn to you, bring you into the conversation here.
Being sure the you chief, want to do that?
Well, I'm sure. I'm ready. We're ready for you. So you being the chief revenue officer, let me ask you this. If a CEO told you that they only had a budget for a few major technology investments this year, how would you make the case that clinical risk intelligence should be at the top of that list?
Well, if I was talking to a CEO about this, I'd center around three things. The first thing is that we all know that the ED is the front door of your hospital. 60 to 70% of all your inpatients come through your ED. And so getting the acuity right from the get-go, whether you get over-triage where they're utilizing resources that they shouldn't be utilizing, or you're under-triaging where you're sitting them on the wrong path and you're increasing the risk for that patient, all leading to poor outcomes, to Dina's point. And so what we say is that by doing this at the front door, you stop all the downstream problems, whether that be risk and compliance issues, where you have a bad clinical outcome, whether you're trying to figure out how you use your resources, so you're bringing down your cost structures, how you use your people, right? So you don't have people coming in and using doctor's time when it's not appropriate for that particular patient. So catching the problem at the beginning and getting it right from the beginning leads to better outcomes throughout the entire process, clinically, financially, and operationally.
Yeah, and better patient outcomes too, especially, which is really important.
Well, sometimes Dina and I, she's the clinician and I'm the business guy. We often say the clinical outcomes are extremely important, but no margin, no mission.
Wow, interesting. You guys should go on the road together. We've got the chief nursing officer.
We've been doing that this week. We've got the chief revenue officer
here. I like it. It's very good. So then, James, what market forces are creating urgency around clinical AI adoption, and how does early implementation create sustainable competitive advantages for health systems? Is there a race to get there first?
I think there is. I mean, because the first thing is the margin compression that all the healthcare providers are seeing. That's happening whether they want it to or not. I think Mr. Lassiter, Mr. Woods this morning both talked about that being a major component for all healthcare providers, and waiting is not an option. This is going to happen whether they want it to or not. So now they have to figure out how to optimize care across the board in every part of utilization. If they can do that, they can increase their margin, at least keep them stable so they can meet their mission. The second part of that is we know that the policy changes that are coming, even though they're coming 2 years from now, are going to have major, major impacts on EDs. They are going to see more volumes. Currently, our average ED volume grows about 4 to 4.5% annually. I expect that to grow another 2 or 3 points on top of that once this bill takes into effect. That means that our nurses in the ED are going to get more patients. Those patients likely will be sicker patients because people are going to delay their care. So if I've got more patients coming in, they're sicker, I've got more complex issues, all that leads, if we don't get it right the first time, our margins are going away and thus we can't fulfill our mission, which is to take care of people.
I like how you said waiting is not an option. This is coming, right?
It's coming whether you want to or not.
Whether you want to or not. So better to get out in front of it. And companies like yours are helping people get out in front of it for sure. So then, James, from a financial perspective, which I know CEOs listening are very interested in this, why does the no extra work principle of nurse first AI actually drive better returns than solutions that require significant training or workflow changes?
Well, a couple of things. Dina talked about the value of our nurses doing what they're doing today. They don't have to change their workflow, their documentation, their training. They're just going to continue to do what they're doing today. Kate works in the background. That leads to zero disruption, which leads to faster adoption of the solution that you're putting in place. And that gives better productivity for the nurses, less training costs, and less, what I would say, time to market or time to impact. We're trying to shorten that. It doesn't help that I implement a solution that requires more work of the staff. If you've talked to my wife's a family physician, former surgeon, and she'll tell you that every technology she's gotten over the last 25 years required her to do more work. I think our nurses feel the same way. They have enough to do. Way Kate works, we don't require them to do anything different. No extra workload, no extra data, no extra documentation. We're their guide on their shoulder, doing work on their behalf to make their lives easier.
Yeah. So, Dina, question for you, mm-hmm. after hearing James talk about that, being our chief nursing officer, sounds like nurses are positive reviews so far. They're loving this. It's really helping, yes?
Yeah, so we see about 95% of the nurses who are getting messages from Kate responding to those messages, which is awesome. We laugh because we have a feedback mechanism. So an individual nurse can send us a message about a specific prediction, and we as ED nurses will respond to those messages. And so it's that constant feedback where Kate's learning from the nurses and the nurses are learning from Kate, which is why we get the adoption that we do.
Wow, that's great. How do you implement into a ED then? How does that work? How do you come in and install Kate, or how do you get Kate up and running?
Well, I mean, I think before we even get Kate up and running, one of the things is that we work on a very robust ROI model with our partners. And that ROI model includes clinical outcomes, financial outcomes, and operational outcomes. Going back to that point, that we have to have a diverse impact on the organization because the challenges they are facing are diverse. That's the first thing. I think the second part is, how do you build better decision-making into the process from the very beginning? So Dina talks about that a lot, that Kate helps the nurses think. It makes them think. That's a common comment we get from them. And it doesn't take over for the decision-making process. It just supports them. And if you think about it this way, 70-80% of all the employees in the hospital is actually the nurses. Mm-hmm. Far more nurses than physicians. So they're doing most of the work. And the way we think about it is, why not provide them tooling that helps them do their work more effectively, smarter, faster, higher, better outcomes?
Yeah. And because Kate works in the background and we don't have to change workflows and we're not changing documentation, that implementation is actually seamless. We talk in shift huddles about Kate and why Kate's there. But the primary question we get asked when we're doing at the hip implementation is, why is this patient in ESI2? So it's a lot of education about high-risk patients. It's not a lot about the tool itself, because the tool's working in the background and we're not changing what they're doing. So that really does lend itself to a fast adoption and day one results.
Yeah, I mean, less onboarding, no retraining. They just keep telling you to do their job.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And nurses are looking for that support, as you say, James, the way you put it. I really like how you
said
that.
And I hate to say this, my physician wife might laugh at me when I say it, but we know the hierarchy of healthcare. And sometimes we often forget about the nurses who are on the street doing most of the work. The doctors get all the sexy tools.
And that is true.
To be honest, they do get all the sexy tools. And sometimes the nurses are forgotten in that mix. And so we believe this nurse first, nurse built by nurses, for nurses, nurses in the loop, is something that's beneficial. So when you ask me, what would I say, CEO, when 70-80% of your staff is doing the work, why not help them?
Right. Why not support? Well, this has been a great conversation. I want to thank you both. Really interesting looking into the future and new technology and how people like you are using AI to support our healthcare workers, especially our nurses. So this has really been great. How Nurse First AI drives clinical and financial outcomes for health systems. Final question from each of you. Anything I missed? Anything you want to add? Dina, let's start with you.
Oh, I think recognizing the value and the importance of the emergency department in an organization is really important. And you've got nurses who are making really important decisions in a really challenging environment that have very deep impact across the entire care continuum. So by supporting them in the moment to be able to make that right decision, you can have a positive impact on patient care, patient outcomes, and I will say it for James in the financial pieces as well.
I love you, Dean.
I love it. Well said. Very well said. James, final thoughts.
Oh, man. She stole my thunder on that one. But as my rope buddy, that's okay. I would say this. When we think about the patients and putting them at the center, Dina mentioned before that happier nurses lead to better outcomes. So let's stick with that. Like, mm-hmm. we want better outcomes. We want patients to have a great experience. It starts with the nursing staff. And so our challenge to everyone is, how do we support them better to set that tone from the very beginning when the patient first enters your facility?
Well said. Yeah, thank you both. James, Dina, thank you. Pleasure having you here. Once again, that is Dina Brescher and James Lakes. And to learn more about Mednition and to listen to other podcasts, please visit leadershipsummit.aha.org. That's leadershipsummit.aha.org. This has been an Innovators Connection podcast brought to you by the American Hospital Association. Thanks for listening.